You're due for your biannual cleaning, something you usually forget and would rather not remember. But you just got a reminder from the dentist you look forward to seeing. The Gentle Dentist, the only dentist you're happy to come back to. The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. How can we make you smile? Call 614-431-3311.
Hey everybody, it's Michael Steele here. Now, I know you're waiting for the next big episode of the Michael Steele Podcast, but in the meantime, give a listen to this Michael Steele Podcast quick take.
Jonathan Capehart, he is the Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. The question for me is fundamentally, do you want to win or do you want to be woke? Do you want to put in place someone who can transition away from crazy, or do you want to just double down on crazy and just strap in for the next 4 years, because you thought the last 4 years were fun? Baby, you don't know what's about to hit when Donald Trump gets reelected,
right?
Because then the truth before him is, okay, y'all threw everything at me, now I got something for you.
And you think he's unleashed now,
right?
Which in a lot of ways he is. Imagine if he were to win reelection, how much darker in terms of mood, in terms of policies, this country will get. I'm actually working on a part four.
Oh no!
of my little series, and it's actually meant to address what you just said. The phrase you just said: do you want to win or do you want to be woke? And what is interesting in the first two pieces that I wrote, the reaction that I got back, both on my Facebook page, especially on Twitter, which I know is not a representative sample of anything, but the number of people who said, listen, I'm going to vote. Don't get it twisted. I'm going to vote. But if Biden makes the wrong choice or doesn't put a black woman, mm-hmm. these are people who want a black woman on the ticket, but if he doesn't do that, then that's all he's going to get is their vote, which I thought was a very interesting distinction they were making, because this one person who I'm going to quote in the piece from Twitter said, I'll vote, but that's all Biden will get from me. He won't get my time. He won't get me door knocking. He won't get me phone banking. He'll just get my vote. And that's why I keep coming back to the enthusiasm piece is really important. At the end, ultimately, that woman or these voters walking into the voting booth and casting a ballot, that's all you really want. But in an election here where both sides are incredibly motivated and are trying to pull out the folks who haven't quite been motivated to vote one way or right. another, you're going to need the door knocking. You're going to need the phone banking. You're going to need that extra $10, $20, $30 that you could get from them every month to help finance your operation. And that's the point I'm trying to get to and why I made the point of saying, you know, no matter what, we're going to get blamed. But do not for a minute think that because some black people are saying we want a black woman to be Biden's VP running mate does not mean that they're not going to vote. It means for a lot of them that their enthusiasm for the entire process will go from 100 to maybe 50.
That's why I
feel so passionately about writing part four, because I think too much of our political conversations, lack for nuance or context, and people just go for broad brushes, and that's why I want to do that.
No, I look forward to reading that and criticizing it. okay. I've got one that I've kept you a long time, bro. This has been a great conversation, but I do, because again, this is in your space of social and you know, sort of cultural space, Twitter and the president seem to be having a row. Twitter's now decided, or at least in this one instance, have acted on the president's tweets to put a little sort of... What do you call it? An alarm?
Right, a little ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Little ding-a-ling-a-ling.
This ain't true.
This is bullshit. No, this ain't true. It's a lie. And the president, of course, has reacted to that. Do you think the president's response to, rather Twitter's response to Trump's tweeting is justified? And what kind of role should any platform play at this point in regulating inaccuracies in their site? I mean, you guys in the media, the Washington Post, have a very high standard of what goes into that print and the words that are used and the truth and the fact checking and all of that. Why do platforms like Twitter and Facebook not have that? Because the free speech argument's a bogus argument, and in my view. And so I'm just curious as to how you see Twitter reacting and responding and what platforms should be doing or will likely do going forward.
This is really tough, and this is actually a conversation that we have on the board that ends up, you know, going around and around and around, because on the one hand, you know, Twitter's a private company and,
right,
you know, they can do X, Y, or Z. They're not a journalism
right
entity. And so they don't have, you know, they don't follow the same kind of ethics and stuff that we do, and that we feel duty bound. But on the other hand, you've got, there is the issue of free speech. I can see the arguments on all sides of this. And so I'm speaking for myself and not the Washington Post, certainly not the Washington Post editorial board, but it seems to me that when you have the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, spreading falsehoods on the platform that would get any regular person kicked off, put in quote-unquote Twitter jail, why shouldn't those same rules apply to him? I mean,
right,
it's great that they put that little red ding-a-ling bell to warn people, like, here, for more information or for accurate information. That's great when it comes to his, you know, popping off about mail-in balloting and voting and stuff like that. Where I have a hard time is Twitter taking no action against the president for spreading conspiracy theories and lies about whether it's hydrochloroquine or murder conspiracies involving our colleague Joe Scarborough, where you have, how do you, as a human being, CEO of a company, and as a company, ignore the pleas of a widower,
right,
who is demanding that you stop someone from abusing you and your family? And it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
But and the conspiracy theory is a conspiracy theory because it's not true. And yet Twitter is like, oh, nothing to see here. You know, we don't have to do anything about this. And so that's, I don't know. I mean, personally, I if Jack Dorsey were my friend, I'd say, you know, yo, Jack, you really, at what point does human decency come in to your decisions as a CEO and into the culture of your company? At some point that should come into play. But I mean,
it's hard to come into play when the dollar signs are so large in front of,
yes,
you. That's the only thing you see.
Right.
It's the only thing
and
you
see. Exactly, and that's the other thing, and I forgot, that was another thing that has come up, is that, you know, the incentive structure, we know what it is.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's why I say the free speech part for me doesn't matter, because the only thing that matters is the Benjamins. And so that's why I got rid of Facebook. I completely stepped off the platform. I close the account, done. Because I didn't even begin to share with you what I think about some of the people that that are on there. It is a hate-filled, spewing bullshit machine of lies, distortion, and conspiracies 90% of the time. And there's no regulation. And Zuckerberg's just like, hey, dude, I got advertising. You know, I'm good.
Right.
And if he can't take it seriously, I don't play. I'm sorry. I can't play in that space. I will give Twitter props for at least making this move, even though they have been hesitant in doing it. You're right. They are a private company and they're not a government entity. You know, free speech rules constitutionally don't apply to them. Got it. All of that understood. But the core point you make, I think, is an important one, is that there is a social responsibility. There is a corporate responsibility to the broader community. And if you're creating a space where I can go on and say Jonathan Capehart is some lie, some, you know, defamatory thing or whatever, and you just let people keep repeating that lie over and over again and you say nothing, you've got to be held accountable for that at some point. And you know, God bless Joe and Mika for what they're going through. But more important than that is the widower, and his plea was so powerful. You know, what you're doing to the memory of my wife. I mean, this is a man who has not remarried. He's not. That's how love. That's how deep his love for this woman was, 20 years ago. And it for him to have to now relive this pain so publicly, and you know, at the hands of the President of the United States.
Yes, that's the thing.
It's not like Jonathan Capehart or Michael Steele is writing this shit and put it out on the street, right? This is the friggin' President of the United States, people. Get a grip. All right, okay, Jonathan. I'm going to let you
go,
baby.
I can go to work now.
You can go to work now. Thanks for downloading this Michael Steele Podcast Quick Take. Now, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts where, guess what? You can review us. You can give us 5 stars. Oh, yeah. I love the 5-star rating. Or you can catch us on iHeart, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
Your local Health Mart pharmacy is putting the personal care back in healthcare. We know you by name, not by refill number. Visit healthmart.com for the location near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. Lostgolfballs.com.